The name of the sermon today is Ruminate. Ruminate. R-U-M-I-N-A-T-E. Ruminate. Let's begin today's sermon by looking at the sermon title, Ruminate. What does ruminate mean? What does this word have to do with my salvation process and becoming like Christ? The word ruminate means to turn a matter over and over in the mind. It means to reflect on over and over again. Other words for ruminate are contemplate, meditate, ponder, mull, and reflect. The purpose of today's sermon is to encourage all of us to contemplate, meditate, ponder, and reflect upon and ruminate the Word of God. How do we do this? Are there biblical instructions on how to ruminate? Let us begin in Proverbs 4. So today is going to be part one of this sermon, and it is going to be the introduction to what we will cover in part two. So we're going to begin today by way of introduction in Proverbs 4. I will read the entire chapter, as this is the ruminate instruction chapter. So Proverbs 4, beginning in verse 1. Hear, you children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also, and said unto me, Let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to you. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. When thou goest, thy step shall not be straitened, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her. For she is thy life. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. For they sleep not, except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away, unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness, and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not what they stumble, at what they stumble. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thy eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Let us now immerse ourselves in these instructions, and you'll see as you go along, if you were there, or we'll read the text of last night's Bible study on the end time, preparing for the shock. You'll see that this chapter and these instructions go hand in hand with what you learned in that particular Bible study. Verse 1, key phrases are here, instruction, and attend to no understanding. Notice the commentary on the second item, attend to no understanding. What would serve to enlighten? So the understanding you're after are those things that would enlighten, enlarge, improve, and inform their understandings. What would lead them into the knowledge and understanding of things divine and spiritual, and which would be worth knowing, and of having their understandings stored and enriched with. Verse 2, forsake not the law or doctrine. The John Gill states that we are not talking about the law given at Sinai, but ultimately the doctrine of Christ. Clearly this is the meaning for us now. Forsaking means we should not neglect, relinquish, drop, or depart from, but should keep it and abide by it. The word abide means to continue to be sure or firm, to endure. Notice Matthew 24 and 13. And just recently, Stan Roberts did a sermon on backsliding, and backsliding would involve neglect, relinquish, dropping, or departing from the Word of God. Neglecting your Bible study and your ruminating. Matthew 24, 13. This is to show you that we are to endure till the end. Matthew 24 and verse 13. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Verse 4, let thine heart retain my words and keep my commandments and live. You'll notice all through these instructions there's promises given. Open thy heart to receive my instructions. Receive them with affection. When heard, retain and practice them. We talk a lot about that, don't we? Practice them. Practice the words and instructions you're getting from God. We talk a lot about invoking the power of the Holy Spirit. That is practicing what you are reading about. And thou shalt live. The great purpose of thy being brought into the world shall be accomplished in thee. So you were born and called for a purpose. The word retain means to keep in mind or remember. And you're going to see that theme all through these instructions about retaining, remembering, keeping your focus upon. Verse 5, the key phrases are get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. For get wisdom, get understanding, true religion is essential to thy happiness. Never forget its teachings, nor go aside from the path it describes. Proverbs 3:13, happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the phrase, forget it not, when forgotten, keep it in remembrance. Be continually meditating on wisdom, or Christ, his glories and excellencies, the fullness of grace and truth in him, the blessings of goodness which come by him, the great use and profit of having and enjoying them. Now, stopping right there for a moment, what got me about Proverbs 4 is it's overwhelming. You are going to get so much information in this one chapter of Proverbs that you're going to be overwhelmed. So don't try to take in everything with this sermon. This is a presentation of materials for later. The whole sermon is called Ruminate. This is something for you to mull over. There's no way you're going to get the full impact of what we're talking about here. So understand that everything that I'm doing here is by way of presentation of some material. I'm handing over to you some materials for you to ruminate on. So I just want you to sit and relax and let this flow over your mind with the idea that you're going to take this overwhelming amount of information, and this is just part one of this sermon, and this is going to be the content. This is going to be the directions on how you are going to ruminate later. So don't try to take all of this in. It's I couldn't do it myself, and I spent a lot of time with it. For the phrase, neither decline from the words of my mouth. In other words, do not forget what I told you. This is especially true as you and I go through persecutions and all the end time tragedies before us. Again, referring to the Bible study we had. Notice some scriptures. 2 Chronicles 34, verses 1 through 2. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem 130 years. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the ways of David his father, and declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. Job 23 and verse 11, Job speaking about God. My foot hath held his steps, his way have I kept and not declined. Psalm 44 and verse 18, our heart is not turned back, neither have our steps declined from thy way. So you're getting examples of others that have come before you that are taking these instructions to heart. Psalm 119 and verse 51, the proud have had me greatly in derision, yet I have not declined from thy law. See how these verses are fitting right in with surviving the end time and preparing for the shock. Psalm 119 and verse 157. Many are my persecutors and mine enemies, yet do I not decline from thy testimonies. In fact, if you turn that around, it is the testimonies that are going to get you through the shock of the end time. When the persecutions and the end time elements come, ruminate. Verse 6, speaking of the wisdom and understanding of verse 5, forsake her not, love her. For the phrase, forsake her not, wisdom personified is here represented as a guardian and a companion. See, that's what you want for the end time. You want a guardian and a companion who, if not forsaken, will continue faithful. If loved, will continue a protector. Notice the promise of this verse. Wisdom and understanding will preserve and keep you. Verse 7, key phrases, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. For therefore get wisdom, not an interest in Christ, but a knowledge of it, and make use of all means to obtain a greater knowledge of him, and of interest in him, which is what the apostle calls winning Christ. By which he means not getting an interest in him that he had already, but gaining a greater degree of knowledge, as the context shows, Philippians 3:8, or by wisdom, or wisdoms, that is, without money and without price. So Christ advises to buy gold and white raiment of him, his grace and righteousness. Revelation 3:18. The quoted verses were Philippians 3:18, speaking to getting a greater degree of knowledge of Christ. Philippians 3 and verse 8, it says, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. So everything in your life, all your possessions, your the things that you do in this life, your career, your home, all of these things are nothing compared to your knowledge of Christ. It is your knowledge of Christ which will give rise to the understanding, and then therefore the wisdom that will get you through all things, chief of which is the salvation process, and or that salvation process as you go through the end time, if you are picked to go through the end time. Revelation 3:18, referring to buying gold and white raiment of Christ. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. My note here is the phrase here speaking to the shame of thy nakedness is not speaking about physical nakedness, but nakedness arising from want of righteousness, which is only covered by the righteousness of Christ. This is something that the unwise virgins are going to go through. They will be caught in their nakedness when Christ returns and they see that there's no oil in their lamps. that is a nakedness lacking from a lack of righteousness, from a want of righteousness. For the phrase, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Another name for Christ, see Proverbs 8:14, or along with all thy getting, or above all, let not Christ be wanting. He is the one thing needful. See, there's a point of ruminating right there. He is the one thing needful, the good and better part and portion, which, if missing, all other substance signifies little. So without Christ in a first fruit's life, all other things mean little. Or part with all for the pearl of great price, wisdom, and prefer it to all worldly substance. So it has to be chief and foremost in our mind. There can't be a situation to where it's ever pointed out to us that we weren't ruminating. The quoted verse was Proverbs 8 and verse 14. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. You and I have been constantly talking about knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. We see this as a process. We immerse ourselves in the Word of God and get knowledge. From knowledge and the power of God, we get understanding. From understanding, we are able to take action and invoke that knowledge and understanding. We call this wisdom. Wisdom is action. Christ is knowledge. He is understanding. He is wisdom. So by going through that process, you're putting on Christ, because Christ is knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. Verse 8, exalt her, meaning wisdom. So exalt wisdom. Exalt means to rise or raise to a high position. We are to put wisdom in the highest position in our heart, soul, and mind. So we're talking about the actions of knowledge and understanding are to be in the highest position in our life. We are constantly looking for opportunities to invoke. Christ is wisdom. Christ is exalted in his person. He is to be exalted by us. Notice how this works. Christ is exalted because all positive spiritual elements are ascribed to him. He is all godly principles. We never say that Jesus Christ exhibits love, joy, and peace. He is love, joy, and peace. When we make these principles a part of our character, when we trust him, when we embrace the Word of God, when we keep his commandments and all biblical direction, we exalt him still more. The more we ruminate, the more we are exalted up to his position, which is to say we become like him. Notice the promise of this verse. The promise of verse 8 is, wisdom shall promote you and bring you honor. See, that's a lifting up. Everything about the Word of God is lifting you up. You cannot use the Bible to put anybody down, because it was designed to bring humans up. It does, in fact, put sin and evilness down, but it raises all people up and out of that and towards Christ. Verse 10, the primary phrases are, hear and receive my sayings. For hear means to hearken to embrace and not reject. So you're not just giving, you know, ear service here. You're doing something. Notice the action meaning of this word here. You're not just hearing the Word of God. You're hearkening to it. You're embracing it. They say those are action steps, and you're not rejecting it. The promise of verse 10 is, the years of your life will be many. Again, all through these instructions are promises. Verse 12, when thou goest, the promises of verse 12, your steps shall be straightened, meaning attended with difficulties and obstructions, or subject to dangers. So you will not be, your steps, see, if you follow God's word, your steps will not be attended with difficulties and obstructions, or subject to dangers. When you run, you will not stumble. Running here is speaking to those who make haste to keep the commandments of God. This comes under the heading of fervency, diligence, and zeal. running to keep the commandments of God that run with alacrity and cheerfulness in their Christian race and in the way of their duty shall not stumble, though the deceitfulness of sin, the snares of the world, and the temptations of Satan, so as to fall and perish. Now, as we go through this Christian race, we will at times slip and sin. That is not stumbling, because we have something called repentance. So when it's talking here, stumbling is like a permanent situation where you're stumbling and, you know, leading to backsliding, leading to falling away. So we shall not stumble. We may slip and sin now and again, but we're not going to stumble. There's a clear distinction there. We are not going to end up in the deceitfulness of sin, the snares of the world. That may happen momentarily, but we are immediately cleansed because we are repentant people as we go along. So I don't want anybody to think there, oh, well, I stumble all the time. No, you might slip now and again, but repentance keeps you from stumbling. And the more you immerse yourself in the Word of God, the less you're going to slip and sin. Verse 13, take fast hold of instruction. These are the key phrases. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go, and keep her. And see, these are words that we use every day, but they have deep meaning in the Word of God. So words that you see in black and white in your Bible, don't liken them to the use of your English language in day-to-day talk. What is this? Keep her? Oh, that's a pretty common phrase. It means a lot more in the Word of God. Let's take a look at take fast hold of instruction. Seize it strongly. See, notice the action that's being required here. Take fast hold of instruction. Seize it strongly and keep the hold. And do this for life. Learn all thou canst. Retain what thou hast learnt. And keep the reason continually in view. See, that 10,000-year perspective, we need that continually. For it is for thy life. For the phrase, let her not go, the instruction of wisdom, or the gospel of Christ, do not drop it, nor depart from it, nor waver about it, nor be languid in a profession of it, nor indifferent to it. So it's giving you every possible phraseology here for don't let go of the Word of God. Don't let go of these instructions. Keep her, which may be understood either of the gospel, wisdom's instruction, which should be kept as a rich treasure and not parted with at any rate, since it is the means of quickening dead sinners, of showing sensible ones the way of life by Christ, of producing faith in them by which they live upon Him, and of maintaining and supporting the spiritual life in them, and of reviving and comforting them under the most drooping and afflictive of circumstances. So once again, we will run into drooping and afflictive circumstances, but we overcome them with the Word of God and everything that we are instructed to do, like repent and keep going and invoking fervency and diligence and zeal. The promise of verse 13 is instruction for your life. You do these things, as you immerse yourself in the Word of God, you get instructions for your life, instructions for going down the pathway of salvation, from going to from the back of the room, as we use that metaphor, to the front of the room. Verse 14. Key phrases, enter not into the path of the wicked. Go not in the way of evil men. For enter not into the path of the wicked. Never associate with those whose life is irregular and sinful. Never accompany them in any of their acts of transgression. And for go not in the way of evil men, if tempted and prevailed upon to take a step and make a trial, do not proceed. Withdraw at once. This is part of repentance. Do not go on. Do not envy the ways of the wicked men. Their seeming pleasure will end in bitterness. The Arabic version is, do not imitate them. do not follow their example and do as they do. Verse 15. Avoid it. Right, these are the key phrases. Avoid it, the path of the wicked. Pass not by it. Turn from it and pass away from it. For avoid it as dangerous and pernicious, as abominable and detestable. So we have to have a mindset that this is part of what you're doing when you're meditating and mulling this over, as you think about the sin and the ways of evil men. You look at this as dangerous and pernicious, as abominable and detestable, or flee from it, make it void, cause it to cease. For pass it by, do not come near it. Keep at a distance from it, that you may not be drawn into it. Abstain from all appearance of evil and everything that may lead to it. Remember our discussion of appearance of evil. If evil is off the path, 100 yards away, you do not take one step towards it, not even one step towards the evil. For turn from it, if thou unwatchfulness or unfaithfulness, thou at any time get near or in the way of sin, turn from it with utmost speed and humble thyself before thy Maker. For pass away from it, speed from it, run for thy life, and get into the utmost distance, get to the utmost distance, eternally diverging, so as to never come near it while thou hast a being. Remember one aspect that we know about God, God the Father. He will not go anywhere where sin has taken place. He lives so much by this turn from it and pass away, that is a part of his character. He will not go anywhere where sin has been committed. That's why for him to bring his headquarters to earth, the earth has to be cleaned, purified, before he will come down here, and that you will be there to see that happen. Verse 18, but the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. This is a stated process of what happens when you ruminate. So this is a key verse of this instruction of Proverbs 4. Let's read that process again. But the path of the just, see, you're going down the path. That denotes time. Time denotes process. And as you go down this path of the just, as you go through the salvation process, it is as a shining light. So from the time you enter the door at the rear of the room and go into the salvation process, you are immediately a shining light. You have some power. You've just been baptized. You've just had hands laid on. You've been given power and light. Now, as you proceed forward, and remember, you can't stop. You're always moving in the salvation process, maybe backsliding a little bit, but then you turn and go forward. You can't stop and hold your ground. You must be moving at all times. That light will shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The perfect day is the return of Christ. And when I ever say to you the return of Christ, you realize that if you die tomorrow, that's the same as the return of Christ, because 1 second later, you're going to be at the return of Christ. So it matters not whether you die tomorrow or you live to the point of the return of Christ. It's the same thing. It's the same thing, because if you die tomorrow, 1 second later, you're there. So in respects to verse 18 in this process, this is a stated process of what happens when you ruminate. Indeed, this entire chapter of Proverbs 4 up to this verse 18 has been various admonitions to get knowledge and understanding and wisdom, and to constantly ponder and meditate on them, to ruminate. The outcome is that you are changed into the image of the Word of God and Jesus Christ, who is the Word. So when I say the Word of God and Jesus Christ, same thing, because he is the Word. When he returns in the sky, he's going to have on his vesture the fact that he is the Word. This verse proves that salvation is a process over time. There's actually people walking around who will try to tell you that somehow salvation is not a process and does not somehow happen over time. It's something you're zapped with somehow. It's not there's nothing in the Bible that would point to that being true. It is a process. Each element of the salvation process is cultivated and grows into maturity right up to the moment Christ returns. For example, you are spending your spiritual life invoking the power of the Holy Spirit in the form of godly principles, including love, joy, peace, honesty, service, and excellence. You get better at it every passing day, month, and year. This is the meaning of this verse 18, and your path shining more and more unto the perfect day, or the return of Christ and your resurrection into spiritual perfection. Now notice the following verses focus on ruminating. Verse 20, attend to my words and incline thine ear unto my sayings. For attend my words, which go before and which follow after his doctrines, instructions, cautions, and exhortations. Virtually every sermon I give, every Bible study I give, has something to do with encouragement to doctrine, instruction, cautions, and exhortations. For incline thine ear unto thy sayings, stoop and bow the ear. Listen attentively to what is said as being the greatest moment and importance. Verse 21, let them, the words of God, not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thy heart. For the phrase, let them not depart from mine eyes, commit them to writing. First thing that ever happened to me when I came in the church is they gave me the correspondence course. And they even state, as I recall, they state how powerful it is for you to write out your Bible studies. Not everyone, but it's good to write things out. This is a part of the ruminating process, to write things down. This is why we've talked in the past about keeping journals and keeping blessing books and this type of thing. You're committing things to writing. You can put your prayers in writing. You can have a prayer journal. There's all kinds of things. And when you actually write them out, that's very powerful. I talk about uttering the words of God. You're releasing power. You're releasing light. Same thing happens in writing. It says, frequently read them over and let them be always in sight as a rule and directory to steer the course of life. Interesting that God has given us eyes. We think, oh, well, it's just part of the body that he made for us. He's given us eyes. He's given us taste. And he's given us ears to hear with, eyes to see with, a mouth to speak with, or to utter the words of God. And it's interesting, he's also given us taste. I told you that everything in this life is a living metaphor of things that we learned. And I have a piece over in the minister's notebook that asks the question, have you ever tasted God? You might want to go and look at that. I'll send that out to you in an email, and you can see what the answer is to that. Have you ever tasted God? And we'll answer the question why he gave us taste in the first place. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. Lay them up there and ponder them. Often meditate upon them and do not forget them. Show the most affectionate regard unto them and look upon them as the most inestimable treasure, for which no place is so fit a repository as the heart. Verse 22, this has to do with promises of life and health. So this has a lot to do with our own, or I should say, God care, as opposed to humans on earth giving us care. For they are life unto those that find them. By diligently searching for them and being found, they are the means of spiritual life and of maintaining it and of showing the way and bringing us eternal life. That's how powerful these words are. Notice the associated verse, John 6 and verse 63. It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, they are life. For the phrase, and health to all their flesh, the whole man, soul and body, as they are the means of preserving the body from many diseases, which intemperance, lust, luxury lead to and are curbed by these. So of healing the various diseases of the soul and however of directing to a panacea for them to the blood of Christ, which is the true balm of Gilead, and he the physician of souls. Moreover, the doctrines of the gospel are the wholesome words of our Lord Jesus. They are sound, salutary, and helpful, and serve to keep the soul in good plight and the body too. So you want to talk about healing? Immersing yourself in the Word of God is like coating yourself in the true balm of Gilead. And for some of us here, like Lee and Joanne and myself, when we were singing for Herbert W. Armstrong in Spokane at the feast one year, we actually did this song a couple of times, The Balm of Gilead. It's a wonderful song. Verse 23, keep thy heart with all diligence. The meaning here is above all keeping, guard thy heart. He who knows anything of himself knows how apt his affections are to go astray. So we understand our weaknesses. So we're going to keep thy heart with all diligence. The only way we can beat going astray momentarily or permanently going astray is to keep our heart with all diligence. The promise out of verse 23 is, out of your diligence are the issues of life. This use of the heart in this verse is a living metaphor. The human heart serves the entire body. The more health you give to the heart, the better your entire life will be in all physical areas. This is exactly true of the spiritual heart. In this heart are all the words of God, all the knowledge and understanding. The more diligence you give to having a healthy spiritual heart, the better all aspects and elements of your salvation process shall be. Verse 25, let thine eyes look right on. Let thine eyelids look straight before thee. For let thine eyes look right on. Direct all thine actions to the right end. And keep thy mind fixed upon the way which leads to it, and neither look to turn aside to the right nor to the left. For let thine eyelids look straight before thee to the precepts of the word, to observe them, to the promises of it for encouragement. Say, that's why all through this you're getting promises. That's the encouragement part. You're to ruminate. You're to mull these things over. And a part of the excitement of that is the encouragement and the promises you're getting all through it. So the promises are giving you encouragement. And to the examples of the saints gone before. We've given some verses here in this sermon on what the saints were doing. So you have the examples of the saints going before as motives to excite diligence and to exercise patience, faith, and hope to the mercy of our Lord. There's no reason. Whatever was motivating and giving power to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, you know, to David, to any one you want to point to of God's servants, why would you be anything less? You have the same power. They didn't have anything on you. Verse 26, ponder, ruminate the path of thy feet. Let all thy ways be established. For ponder the path of thy feet. Consider well what path it is, whether right or wrong, or weigh it in the balances of thought. So there again, you're ruminating. You're not just ruminating on the Word of God. You're ruminating about what action you're about to take in view of that Word. So when it says consider well the what path it is, you're making decisions every day. Every decision you make, be it physical, emotional, mental, or spiritual, and they're all linked together, you're doing this from a heart that is full of the words of God. And so you are constantly, through everything you do spiritually, is through the power of God, you are examining yourself. I just had somebody from this congregation tell me that that's what they do when they get up in the morning, because we've talked about it. When you wake up in the morning, all you have to do is ask God if you are still in the process. Unction of the Holy Spirit will let you know. You never have to, though it is understandable and not infrequent, that people will say to themselves or even say to me that I'm not sure I have God's Holy Spirit. That's natural. That's just Satan in the world trying to get at you and throw in doubt. But you continually consider well what path it is that you're on. And the power of the Holy Spirit will help you in that regard. So God will help you through that power. For the phrase, let all thy ways be established. So something has to be established. This is construction part of, and what happens when you're ruminating, when you're pondering, when you're mulling over all these things, you're establishing things. You're getting excited. We've used the word here, embracing these things. When you embrace something, you're establishing something. Yeah, that sounds right. What God is asking me to do here works. And so I'm always going to do it that way because I've done it several times, doing what he told me to do, and it works. You're letting a way be established. It says, so as to walk on steadily, constantly, uniformly, and not be easily moved out of the ways of religion and truth. Or, let all thy ways be prepared or directed or disposed according to the rule of the divine word. So you're getting instructions here on how things work, on how you are to proceed. This is like, here's the path. You've just been baptized. Here's the path. I want you to walk down it. By the way, here's Proverbs 4. It'll give you all the instructions you need. In fact, he's giving us the entire word of God. But to focus for a moment on Proverbs 4, this is like an instruction sheet on how I'm going to proceed with the entire word of God down this path. This is what ruminating is all about. These are the things that we have to bring into the mind, establish into the mind. The only way you're going to let all thy ways be established is to fill your heart with the word of God and all of these instructions, procedures. Verse 27, turn not to the right hand nor to the left is one of the key phrases, and remove thy foot from evil. For turn not to the right hand nor to the left, avoid all crooked ways, be an upright, downright, and straightforward man. Avoid tricks, wiles, and deceptions of this kind. Have an article over at the Minister's Notebook, Slick Arguments. Avoid slick arguments. We're in the era of slick arguments. Don't let that happen. These are tricks. The wolves come in sheep's clothing. We have a whole sermon on sheep's clothing called The Dirty Fleece. See how God is constantly bringing all these sermons together? If he's inspiring them, they're all linked, and they're all part of information from the Word of God. The minister gets no credit here. All these procedures and facts and concepts, the spiritual concepts we're getting from the Word of God, are coming to you in a certain way, just as anybody who, if you go to college and you go from your freshman year to your senior year, things are given in an orderly way. God does the same thing. He's building you up. He's taking you deeper and deeper into the Word of God. He's not going to give you, you know, steak on your first day in the work of God or in your study of the Word. He's going to give you the milk. You see all those scriptures on that. And then you move on to meat. Everything's process. Removing thy foot from evil, from walking in evil ways and along with evil men and from doing evil things. Abstain from all appearance of evil, keeping a distance from it. Try to contemplate all that we have covered in these 27 verses of Proverbs. It is simply overwhelming. This is why we must meditate, ponder, mull, reflect, and ruminate each and every meaning expressed here. So I've given you a whole list of meanings, several pages of meanings. Interestingly, all that we have covered today is just the introduction to this concept of ruminating the Word of God. Let us end the sermon today with some scriptures that sum up our discussion today. John 8 and verse 12, we must follow This is a verse about we must follow Christ to be like him. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of this world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. That light, verse 18 of Proverbs 4, that shows you the process. 2 Corinthians 3:18, and you know how much I love this verse. This is immersing ourselves in the Word of God changes us into his image. 2 Corinthians 3:18, I have it plastered to my wall right here. We all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So you're proceeding down the pathway of the salvation process by the power of the Holy Spirit. This beholding in the glass is you holding the gospel, you holding the Word of God in front of your face. It's like a mirror. And by it's showing here that open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. So as you look into the Word of God, you're seeing the glory of the Lord, and you're changed into the same image. How are you changed into the same image? It tells you right there. You go from glory to glory. Every time you invoke, every time you ruminate, you're making a glory. And you go from glory to glory, another phrase showing you process and time, which are the same thing. Philippians 2 and verse 15, we shine as the lights of the world, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights of the world. We talked about that in the end time, preparing for the shock, on how you will be the light to a lot of people, because you're coming from a tranquil base. And so when all these things are happening and people are dying in front of everybody, you're going to be able to give encouragement that will serve them now and really serve them in the resurrection and or the return of Christ. 2 Peter 3:18, we grow in salvation process and from our immersion in the Word. That's what 2 Peter 3:18 is about. It says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. Let us now recap what we have learned in this part one of the sermon. Ruminate from Proverbs 4. So what I've given you here in sets of five are a recap of everything you learned here. As I said, it was overwhelming, so I thought I would give you a recap. This could be a point of ruminating for you. So here's just some of the things that I went through the text that we just went through, and these are the highlights of what we learned here. I'm just going to utter them for you. Hear instruction. Get knowledge and understanding of things divine and spiritual. Do not neglect doctrine. Receive the words of God with affection. That, to me, that is a huge point of ruminating right there. It's not just receive the words, it says receive the words with affection. There's all kinds of quotes even in the world that talk about you will embrace the things you love. Wherever your heart is, that's where your actions are going to be. Retain and practice them. So receive the words of God with affection. Retain and practice them. See, another point of ruminating. What am I doing to practice the words of God? What am I doing to invoke? What am I doing to learn how to look for opportunities to invoke? Get wisdom. Never go off the path into vain jangling. See our study of the letters of Paul, 1 Timothy 1:6. Never go off the path into vain jangling, which is a main thought and focus of all of 1 Timothy. Never go off the path into vain jangling. You will witness people in the church going off into vain jangling. And as you saw in the instructions in this chapter of Proverbs 4, that you are to avoid people that are going off into vain jangling. Be continually meditating on wisdom, Christ. This is especially true as you go through end-time events. Never decline from God's way. Wisdom is your guardian and companion and will continue as your protector. Continually get knowledge of Christ. Be willing to give up all things for Christ. The definition of spiritual nakedness is want of righteousness, which is only possible in Christ. So the righteousness is only possible in Christ. Without that, you are spiritually naked. In the process of knowledge, understanding, and wisdom, wisdom is the action or the invoking of the knowledge and understanding. Christ is knowledge. Christ is the understanding. Christ is the wisdom. Put wisdom in the highest position of your heart, soul, and mind. Christ is exalted, and we exalt him even more each time we invoke the Spirit of God. The more we ruminate, the more we become like Christ. Make haste to keep the commandments and words of God. This is talking about attitude. You will not stumble. Seize godly instruction strongly. Keep spiritual reason in clear view. Avoid the ways, beliefs, doctrines, and even the company of people contrary to truth and the salvation process. Constantly contemplate Proverbs 4:18 and shine more and more unto the return of Christ. Commit the words and instructions of God to writing, reading, and to sight. Increase your time in meditation. I have a whole sermon called the Forgotten Tool, the most powerful tool that is most neglected, and that's meditation, ruminating. The words of God are the means of spiritual life and bringing you to eternal life. Guard your heart with all diligence. Direct all actions to a right end. So you have a lot of ruminating, you and I have a lot of ruminating to do about all the actions that we take. We do a lot of procedures, and a lot of them are mundane even. A lot of them are things that we do over and over and over again, but we need to direct all our actions to a right end. Learn to follow the examples of the saints gone before you, Christ being the prime example. But since the servants of Christ you see in the Bible are conforming to the image of Christ, you will see good examples in them. Ponder the feet of your the path of your feet. Be not easily moved to the right or to the left. Do not take even one step towards a known evil. Ruminate the Word of God. So go now and ruminate